The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We're doing something a little bit different this summer. You know, as Anglicans, we've heard of the 39 Articles. That's kind of the response of the Church of England to the Reformation. So it became a Reformation church, and these articles are kind of the basis of, are kind of the guardrails, the fences of the field that we call faith, right? So Article 35 begins of the homilies. The second book of homilies, the several titles whereof we have joined under this article, doth contain a godly and wholesome doctrine and necessary for these times, as doth the former book of homilies, which were set forth in the time of Edward the Sixth, and therefore we judge them to be read in churches by the ministers diligently and distinctly, that they may be understanded of the people. And the article ends by noting that they need to be updated due to outdated language and references to the laws and customs of England, which do not apply to the American church. So that 35th article was appended at the American Revolution. Most of us have, well, I don't even know if most of us have read that article, but we've at least read, you've heard it now, and there's two book of homilies there that are directed to be read in church. Well, guess what? Most of us haven't read those homilies. So I want to take this summer and go through these homilies. Now, a lot of you are sweating right now. It's like, oh, man, you know, 40 minutes of Elizabethan English. I don't know if I can handle it. Well, do not fear. I'm going through the homilies and trying to abbreviate them and update the language and make them a little more in contemporary idiom. So, but I do think it's interesting for two reasons. Number one, for the historical background. Right, that we actually are a Reformation church, and I think you'll see in these homilies that the fundamentals of the faith are there, right? They're not, you know, if anything, they're a reaction against the Church of Rome. But the other thing is that they are just good to hear. We need to hear the fundamentals of the faith regularly. And, you know, we forget things. We start to take things for granted. So it's important for us to go back and review the basics. And with this brief introduction out of the way, let us begin with a fruitful exhortation to the reading and knowledge of Holy Scripture, abbreviated and edited for Christ the King, Anglican Church. Unto a Christian man, there can be nothing else more necessary or profitable than the knowledge of Holy Scriptures. For it contains God's true word, it sets forth his glory and also man's duty, and every truth and doctrine needed for our justification and everlasting salvation may be drawn out of that fountain and well of truth. Therefore, any who desire to become righteous and perfect in the ways of God must determine to know Holy Scripture. Without it, none can sufficiently know God or his will. None can know their roles in the church or their duties toward men. As drink it to the thirsty and food for the starving, so is the reading, hearing, searching, and studying of Holy Scriptures to them that desire to know and to follow God, and to truly know themselves. Only those who are addicted to alcohol or drugs or to other destructive habits despise good food and drink, which is necessary for a healthy body. So too are those who prefer the pleasures and diversions of the world to the study and knowledge of God's word. They have no desire for that which can make them truly whole. Their own fault makes them abhor what they need. The sweetness of God's word is bitter to them due to their habitual sin and love of this world. Therefore, let us not be like the worldly, but rather let us reverently hear and read Holy Scriptures, the food of the soul. The Holy Scripture contains all that we ought to do, what to believe, what to love, and the blessings that we can expect at God's hands. In the Bible, we shall find the Father from whom, the Son by whom, and the Holy Ghost in whom all things have their being and maintenance. And there we see these three persons to be but one God and one substance. In these books, we learn of our depravity, and we also learn of the goodness of God given to all, to us and to all his creatures. We learn in the Testaments what pleases God. And as the great priest and preacher John Chrysostom says, whatever is required for man's salvation is fully contained in God's word. He that is ignorant may there learn. He that is hard-hearted and stubborn, that is a hard-hearted and stubborn sinner, shall find there warnings of everlasting torments according to God's justice to make him afraid and to soften his heart. But for those oppressed with misery in this world, they shall find relief and great comfort in the promises of everlasting life. The scripture contains the medicine that heals the mortal wounds of sin caused by the devil. The book of the Bible, therefore, ought to be much in our hands, in our eyes, in our ears, and in our mouth, but most of all, in our hearts. For the Bible is spiritual food for our souls. The hearing and keeping of it blesses, sanctifies, and makes us holy. It converts our souls. It is a lantern to our feet, a sure, steadfast, and everlasting means of salvation. It gives wisdom to the humble and lowly. It comforts, cheers, and cares for our consciences. It is more precious treasure than any gold or jewel. It is sweeter than honey. It is called the best part, containing everlasting comfort, preferred by Mary. The words of Holy Scripture are the words of everlasting life given by God for our salvation. Through God's promise and his grace, the Bible brings us to repentance, and those who respond in faith are brought into spiritual maturity. The wise man builds upon the word, upon Christ's sure and substantial foundation. And as Christ says, by this word of God we shall be judged in the last day. He that keeps the word of Christ is promised the love and favor of God, and that he shall be the dwelling place or temple of the Blessed Trinity. Whoever reads this word and imprints it upon his heart decreases his great affection to the transitory things of this world, and learns instead the great desire of heavenly things promised in the word of God. And nothing strengthens our faith and trust in God. Nothing keeps us in innocency, pureness of heart, and godly life and speech as continual learning of God's word. For what we continually and diligently and deeply study becomes engraven on the heart, becomes our very nature. And moreover, God's word illuminates the ignorant and enlightens the darkened mind. It comforts their hearts and encourages them to do what God commands. Holy Scripture teaches patience in all adversity, in prosperity, humbleness. What honor is due to God, and what mercy and charity due to our neighbor. It gives good counsel when in doubt. It directs us to God for aid and help in all perils, and returns the glory to him for victory over temptations of body and soul. Inspired with the Holy Ghost, he who reads with earnestness will find his life altered, changed into the godly man about which he reads. He becomes daily less proud, less wrathful, less covetous, less desirous of worldly and vain pleasures, forsaking his old vicious life, increasing in virtue more and more. There is nothing better to form us into godliness of the mind and to keep us from sin than the continual reading or hearing of God's word. Contrariwise, nothing harms mankind more than ignorance of God's word, which blinds us to Christ, prevents us from seeing the glory of God, and leads to all kinds of vices. However, the question remains, if we profess Christ, why wouldn't we be ashamed to be ignorant of Scripture and the doctrine contained in it? Those who profess an interest and skill in a particular vocation should rather exert themselves in the study of that vocation. A philosopher reads philosophy. A lawyer, an astronomer, or a physician reads books of the law, astronomy, or medicine. How can any man then profess Christ in his religion if he will not apply himself as much as possible to read and hear and thus to know the books of Christ's gospel and doctrine? Doubtless, it is good to know a variety of true things, yet who can deny that knowledge of the Bible is paramount? If we shrink from the study of Holy Scripture, what excuse shall we therefore make at the last day before Christ? Let us who profess God and have faith and trust in Him, therefore apply ourselves to know God's Word by diligently hearing and reading it. Those who do not avail themselves to the study of Scripture make two common but poor excuses. Some claim lack of intelligence and are therefore fearful that their own ignorance will lead them to error. They say they are intimidated by Holy Scripture, while others pretend that Scripture is so important and should be treated with such care that only trained priests and scholars should read and expound its meaning. As touching the first excuse, ignorance of God's Word is the cause of all error, as Christ himself affirmed to the Sadducees, saying that they erred because they knew not the Scripture. To avoid error, one must pursue knowledge with confidence and boldness. And to pursue knowledge, one must read and study. If you refuse to learn God's truth for fear of falling into error, by the same reasoning, you should always remain in your house and never leave. For if you leave, you risk an accident. Nor would you eat any food. For if you consume something spoiled, you would become ill. You might not want to risk that, nor would you plant crops, nor labor, nor conduct business for fear that you lose your seed, your labor, or your stock. By that reasoning, you would avoid everything, for all that we do contains risk, even if a small one. If you are afraid of error when reading the Holy Scripture, don't avoid it, but read it in an appropriate manner. Read it humbly, with a meek and lowly heart, to the intent that you may glorify God and not yourself, with the knowledge of it, and read accompanied by daily prayer, that God would direct your reading to good effect. Don't try to expound confusing passages in new or novel ways that go beyond your understanding. As Saint Augustine saith, the knowledge of Holy Scripture is a great, large, and high palace, but the door is very low, so that the high and arrogant man cannot run into it, but he must stoop low and humble himself to enter in. Reading the Scripture with humility leads us to make connections between passages that the proud miss because they assume that they already know. Humility prays for guidance and asks others to have greater experience and knowledge. And humility avoids jumping to conclusions. Therefore, the humble man may search out Scripture with confidence and without any danger of error. Do not shy away from Scripture. Do not limit yourself to what others preach, but search it out diligently for yourselves. So much for those who claim ignorance as an excuse. Now concerning those who claim that the difficulty of Scripture is too great and interpretation too critical. As an analogy, infants don't eat steak. They drink milk until they're strong enough for adult food. Yet in the eyes of God, even considering the different knowledge and facility with Scripture that we all have, all of us are infants in understanding, and thus are all equally invited to the study of the Bible. He accommodates us where we are. Again, quoting John Chrysostom, whoever giveth his mind to Holy Scriptures with diligent study and burning desire will find help. For either God Almighty will send him some godly scholar to teach him, as he sent the Apostle Philip to declare unto the Ethiopian eunuch the true sense of Scripture that he read, or else if we lack an appropriate instructor, God himself will enlighten our minds, teaching us those things which are necessary for us. Do not get frustrated or impatient when reading Scripture, but steadily continue reading praying and asking others for help. Continue to knock. The door will be opened. The Spirit given us in our baptism will lead us into truth. Now, all this is not to deny that Scripture does indeed speak with obscure mysteries, that those things which are necessary for man's salvation are spoken to us in plain and straightforward language. And since we have been given these important doctrines, it is our duty to learn them, to imprint them in our memory, and to live in accordance with them. And as for the dark mysteries, to be patiently contented with our questions until it shall please God to reveal to us the meaning of the passages. God does not fault us for that which is currently beyond us, but he also does not excuse us from wrestling with what he has provided. The study of Scripture is profitable for all men. Thus we have no valid excuse not to read the Word of God, to remain ignorant of the things of God. This morning we have briefly touched upon some of the important benefits of deeply studying God's holy Word. Let us heartily and gladly thank God for that, his great and special gift, for his goodness and fatherly providence. Let us hear, read, and know these holy rules, injunctions, and statutes of our Christian religion, upon which we have made profession to God at our baptism. Let us night and day contemplate them and meditate upon them. Let us pray to God, the author of our faith, that our lives from beginning to end would be characterized by them. And may they finally, after this miserable life, bring us into the endless bliss and glory of heaven. By the merits of him who died for us all, Jesus Christ, to whom with the Father and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, both now and everlastingly. Amen.